Lord, give us the wisdom and teach us the things that we need to know to train up this child in the way that she should go. Lord, you have placed a precious life in our hands. Now give us the grace that she may be raised according to your plan. Lord, help us to train up this child in the way that she should go, so she will not turn from your ways when she is old. Lord, give us your wisdom and teach us the things that we need to know to train up this child in the way that she should go.
Thank you, Cheryl. I'm just faced with a mental dilemma every time I try to separate Cheryl and Cherie and Sherry, and I don't know if there's any Sherry's, but it's too much. It's an overload. I'm sorry. Mark is going to announce the blessing of the children, but first I'd like to call upon Tim Perkins to open a prayer, if you would stand or kneel as you prefer.
Our great eternal Heavenly Father, we thank you for the many blessings and for the anointing that you have given to your speakers and to your singers during the Feast of Tabernacles, which is now closed. And we pray that you will also give inspiration to the speaking and to the singing and to the praying now during Shemini Atzeret and Simchat Torah, the last great day. And we pray that you'll be with all your people through the world during this holy day, and also be with us as we return home afterward. And we thank you for everything. In Jesus' name, amen.
Before we get any of the children up here, I wanted to go through two different scriptures. First one is in 1 Samuel chapter 1. I want to ask a question. Now, God would have caused something to happen. He can make rocks cry out. He can make donkeys talk. But think about what would happen if there would have been no Samuel. Samuel was the answer to a prayer of a woman that desperately wanted a child. And let's start out in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 9. It says, "So Hannah rose after they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh. Now Eli the priest was sitting on the seat by the doorpost of the tabernacle of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed to the Lord and wept in anguish." Now, I don't know, you know, there are some people that seem to have children very easily, and that's a good thing. But if anybody has ever been married or been very close to a woman that is not able to have them, I don't believe that you can know the kind of pain, and then you can't if you're a man because you're only observing it in your wife. But that a woman goes through when she wants a child desperately and can't have one for whatever reason. It's really probably one of the hardest things for a woman to endure every month after month, praying and praying and praying, and then nothing happening. But this is what Hannah was going through. In verse 11, it says, "She made a vow and said, 'O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me, and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a male child, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall come upon his head.' it goes on that Asher was praying, that Eli watched her, and Eli thought, well, this woman is drunk. You know, she was babbling, she was crying, but she wasn't. She told Eli that she's a woman of a sorrowful spirit, and she hasn't drunk any wine or intoxicating drink of any kind, but she's pouring out her heart to God. Then, in verse 17, Eli said, says, then Eli answered and said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant your petition which you have asked of him. And she said, let your maidservant find favor in your sight. So the woman went away and ate, and her face was no longer sad. It talks about she went home and her husband knew her, and then she became pregnant. Verse 21, it says, now the man, Elkanah, and all his house went up to offer to the Lord a yearly sacrifice in his vow, but Hannah did not go up, for she said to her husband, not until the child is weaned, then I will take him, that he may appear before the Lord and remain there forever. So Elkanah, her husband, said to her, do what seems best to you, wait until you have weaned him. Only let the Lord establish his word. Then the woman stayed with and nursed her son until she had weaned him. Now when she had weaned him, she took him up with her, and three bulls, and one ephah of flour, and a skin of wine, and brought him to the house of the Lord in Shiloh. And the child was young. Then they slaughtered a bull and brought the child to Eli, and she said, O my Lord, as your soul lives, my Lord, I am the woman who stood by you here, praying to the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition, which I have asked of him. Therefore I also have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he shall be lent to the Lord. So they worshiped the Lord there. It goes on and tells the story that once a year she would come up, and she would make a little robe for him and bring him, and as he grew up. But you know, there really is something special here about this story, because how old was Samuel when he started to serve in the temple and serve the Lord? It doesn't say, but it says, well, as soon as he was weaned. So I don't know how old that was. 2, 3. And how was he serving the Lord? Well, for one thing, one of the things it says is it's been a long time since God had talked to anybody, and here Samuel's laying in bed, and he hears God calling him, and doesn't, you know, he goes running. And then finally they figure it out, and so it's the Lord speaking to you, and so lay there and wait for him to talk. You know, this tells us a lot of things. First, it says that the voice of the Lord was very rare. It hadn't happened. So the priesthood was in pretty sad shape at this point. And so it was waiting, and it needed a righteous man like Samuel to come. But in this instance, his mother, gave him to God, to serve him from the time that he was weaned, which he did faithfully. And I want to show you one other example. It's in Mark chapter 9. That's the rare. This is the normal. Mark chapter 9, we'll start in 14. And when he came to the disciples, he saw a great multitude around them. That's not right. Am I in Mark? Yeah. That's not the right verse. Anybody know where it is where Jesus is? I've got it written down wrong or something. 10? Okay. Chapter 10. All right. Let's start in verse 13. It says, and then they brought little children to him that he might touch them. But the disciples rebuked them, or those who brought them. You know, they had a lot of important people there that day that needed to be taught by Jesus, and they couldn't be bothered with the children. And all of these people were bringing their children for Jesus to bless them. You know, maybe they didn't realize that there was more important things to do. Maybe they didn't realize that he couldn't be bothered with such trivial matters. I mean, to allow the children to delay a service or something that was unthinkable. Unfortunately, that's how a lot of people think today. But I think Jesus sets everybody straight here if we just keep reading. Verse 14 says, but when Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased. You know, when you go home and you go back to your congregations, if there's somebody that goes back to a congregation where the children are told to sit up, shut down, and shut up, sit down, sorry about that, and sit on your blanket and be quiet, don't be a nuisance. Yes, children have to be under control during services. And if they start screaming, as children do sometimes, maybe sometimes somebody has to pick them up and take them out of the room until they settle down and be brought in. They can't go crazy and tear the place up. But that's not the children's fault. That's the fault of the parents that haven't trained their children, that haven't taught them. Because kids are going to be kids, and they learn by being taught. And so here's what Jesus did. He stopped the service. He told all the important people that they had to wait. And it says he was very greatly displeased. He says, let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God. How many people think God has important things to do on his throne? I mean, he's got to run the world, right? We all like to say that we're his children. Have you ever thought that, you know, if you were in this situation because we're his kids and he's got all these important things to do, do we want to feel like we're a nuisance to him, that he has to stop the running of the world to look down on his child that's making a petition to him? Please bless me. Please hold me in your arms. Take some time out from your busy schedule and let me climb up into your lap. That's why I believe Jesus says, of such is the kingdom of God. If we can't understand that type of relationship and do that ourselves, how are we ever going to train our kids up and show our children? Now, if we're causing disturbances and tearing places up at church, somebody needs to pick us up and carry us out until we can settle down, and then we can be brought back in. It's the same thing. You know, you get people in that don't have a religious background, that have never been to church, that don't know how to act, don't know how to dress, or, you know, various cultures, and you know, from the ghetto to, you know, the shopping malls. So you have to have some tolerance, and you have to show them until they can get a little older and mature. It's the same thing. But what is important is that the children, you know, everybody says it, but how many people believe it, that the children are the future of the church? Doesn't matter if it's Caleb or Seth or who it is out there. You know, if we run them out when they're young so they can't wait until they're 18 years old and they'll never step foot in that place again. I've had kids tell me, I won't go to church. They're grown up and married now with their own kids. I won't go to church because my parents went to church with you. And any place they would go, I'd never step foot in. That's a sad commentary on the parents. So, I want to stop the service today and tell everybody, hold it, there's more important things to do here. Because Jesus said, in verse 15, assuredly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it. And he took them up in his arms and laid his hands on them and blessed them. So if anybody's got some children and they haven't, from blessing them to dedicating them to God, let's bring them up now and we'll get some of the ministers to come up and help me with this. And anybody that's got a child that you want this done, bring them up in front.
come, ye children, come. Our great and living God, we sent Mallory here before your throne, in your very presence, God, and we ask you to continue to watch over her, and I can tell by the shine in her eyes that you've already done so. We ask you to put this blessing on her and protect her and watch over her and give her knowledge and understanding. Yes, as the song brought out, bring her to you, Lord, bring her to you. For you are the master, the king. You have opened your arms. Let her see that and understand that if his hands are being stretched out and is actually laying a blessing upon her today, that she would be malleable and cherishable, and that she is that to you. So we realize, want her to understand that, that when she walks through this life, she will be able to see you with her and helping her and guiding her and directing her. And we thank you so much for her parents, and we ask your blessing to be there too, to help them, to instruct them, to guide her, and to nurture her, and to be stronger in your word. We do pray to you now and place her in your hands, and we thank you for that privilege and that knowledge. And we ask her, ask that she would see and understand what took place here today in the name and authority of a soon coming King, Jesus Christ. Amen. Father, we come before you right now and we ask that you put a double blessing in these children and to give them the love above all things that you require of us, Father, to have a loving heart, to be patient and to be giving, Father, and to follow your commandments in all their ways with all their power and all their might, and to love you with all their soul and all their power and all their might, Father, and to love one another, Father, because as Mark said, this is the future of the church, Father, and we ask that you pour the Spirit out upon them that they might lead us in the future, Father. We pray this in Yeshua and Messiah's name. Amen. Father above, our heart yearns and churns for the mourns for the and rejoices at the same time for the things that the children have to see and learn from, and learn from the mistakes of the parents, learn from the good things of the parents, and they have to make choices themselves, Father. But ultimately they will be responsible for who they become and who you want them to become. For they must choose, and I hope they choose wisely, Father, and choose eternal life, not eternal death, Father. Thank you, because you are a loving Creator who has so many great goods to give us, Father. So we ask, Lord Brianna, that you may give the good goods, the great talents of goods that you want to give her, so she can blossom into the righteous woman that you want her to be. So, Father, we love you, we honor you, we thank our elder brother for his shed blood that made this all possible, that we could stand before your throne and show our love to you, Father, because you showed your love first, that we may show our love to you. Thank you, and elder brother authority. Amen. Father, we come before you today and we ask that you reach down from your throne and lift Caleb up into your lap to hold him, that you surround him with angels and protect him, that you keep the evil from him, and that you intervene in his life, in his sister's life, in his parents' life, so that he could grow up to have the relationship with you and your son that he needs
so that he can be in your kingdom. We ask that you bless this little life, that you touch it, that you let him know you in a personal way, that you give him your Holy Spirit, and that you surround him with a hedge of protection. We ask all this in your son's name, Yeshua, our Messiah, Jesus Christ. Amen.
We don't order anything yet. Okay.
Our great eternal Father, the one that has given us the very seed of life, the one that has blessed us in the very creation week, we thank you so much, Father, for what you've done. We thank you, Father, for the answered prayer, even in the wedding, that there would be seed. And we thank you for that. And we realize that, you know, in this time, there are so many things that we love to say. But we also understand that we don't know all of the answers, but we understand that we know the answer, and that's your blessing. And when that blessing is afforded, and the words of the grandparents and the whole scenario of the scriptures, there's power in that. So we do, Father, ask your blessing that you would send angels to protect in the health, in the mind, and in the soul, and the spirit, and the love of understanding, the very depth of the heart of the individual, to have a heart like your parent, or I said her, I don't know. The very heart that her parents has towards you, that you would enlarge that heart, and that you would magnify it and give it the new wineskin. So we ask these things, very thankful for the love and the compassion and the blessing that you put upon us. It makes us weak in our knees, and we really understand the blessing that you've given the very life itself. We thank you and pray to you. I give you honor in the name and authority of our soon coming King, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Father, we present Abigail before you right now, Father, and we ask that you set a pattern before her, Father, that she go the way that you wanted to go, Father, and to follow the steps of the Messiah, Father, and lead her with the Spirit, fill her with the Spirit in her life, Father, and put a hedge of protection around her and give her parents wisdom in raising her and leading her in the way that you want her to go, Father. And we pray this in Yeshua the Messiah's name.
Father, we come before you today, and we ask that you look down on your throne at Abby. And we thank you that you have answered the prayers for her to be here. That you give her parents the wisdom, the knowledge, and the understanding, and the love that they can fulfill the task that you've given them to raise up your child as a righteous woman for you. We ask that you protect her, that you keep evil influences away from her, that she be drawn to you and your son with a personal relationship, that she know and understand and falls in love with you, that you are first in her life, over and above everything else, and that the angels surround this little baby as she grows, that they keep evil away from her, and that her parents teach her right and true things, and show her how to draw near to you and your son. We ask all this in his name. Amen.
Can you stand up?
Father above, we humble ourselves and honor you in this time and that your children should come before your throne, Father. We pray on behalf of justice that you guide him, protect him, and lift him up to what a man of a creator that you want him to be, Father. For that's what it's about, is learning our true potential that you want, desire, and your loving mind and your creation, Father. We honor you. We also lift up his parents to honor them, for they've been a good example to me, and I pray that they continue in their ways and of love and mercy for their children, because they've been good parents to justice, and pray to give them extra strength to guide in their temporary leadership role that you give them, Father. And we pray for all the parents in the room that they may be lifted up higher and higher in your wisdom and understanding to lead the children for their temporary roles that they have them for a short time, Father. For your great love and mercy, your plan of building children, building families, building minds, to become more and more like you, Father. So we ask in behalf of justice that you take care of him, provide for him, and lift him up to his true potential, Father. In our elder brother's authority, in his loving shed blood that he gave his life for us, we ask that justice may learn to give his life for you, Father. In our elder brother's authority, amen.
Okay, anybody else? Sarah?
Father, we come before you and we ask you to look down at Caitlin and that you continue to bless her, to bless her parents whom you've called and entrusted this awesome responsibility, raising children up for you. That you look down from your throne and you continue to protect Caitlin. You continue to draw her close to you. And that in times of trouble or when she needs you the most, that she knows that she has the right, as one of your children, to crawl up on your lap and seek protection. We ask this in Jesus' name, amen. Father, please look down on Sarah. And as she's entering a crucial part of her life, that you continue to bless her, that you deepen her relationship with her Savior, your Son, and with yourself, that you impress upon her parents your instructions to us in Deuteronomy 6, that from the rising up in the morning to the laying down at night, from the going in the house to the coming out, that they teach her your ways, your commandments, your statutes, your judgments, and that they teach her how to love you with all your heart and all her soul and all her might, that your relationship that you have with her can cause her to stand and be like a roof, to stand in the face of terrible odds and to be victorious and to be faithful to you and your Son. We ask for the angels to protect her also, and we ask all of this in Yeshua's name, Jesus Christ, amen.
The Almighty God, again we pause here before you, humbled at your presence and your glory and your might, that you will take time out to bless us as your children. We thank you so much for that. And we ask, Father, that you would help and place your angels about Odessa and that your spirit would be flowing freely to accomplish your will in her life, that it would have free course to be able to do its wonderful work. Because I know so many times we all get in the way, and that you would help the uniting of the family unit so that we can become stronger and stronger and be more like you and be able to be more like-minded. And we ask your spirit to be flowing and understanding. And we thank you so much for the work that you've done. We've seen the work that you've done in her life. Again, she stands here as a seed or a blessing of a request that was made, you know, 2 years ago. So we thank you, and we give you honor, and we appreciate it. And we ask, and we know, and we plead, we need to have your guidance, your direction in her life, and protection. And thank you again, giving me great honor in the name and authority of the soon coming King, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Now it's Terry here. Let's take and let everybody stand and sing one song, and then we'll get Terry to come up, and he's got 5 to 10 minute talk that he wants to give. A lot of people have asked about the project that we've got going in Knoxville and asked what it is, so we're going to have him come up and explain a little bit about what we're going to do.
I was thinking